For Spokane Public Radio, I'm Chris Messini. Today I'm talking with two authors, Trent Reedy and Jawad Arash. Their new novel for young adults is called Enduring Freedom, and it tells the story of an unlikely friendship between two teenagers, one an American soldier and the other an Afghan civilian. Both lives are turned upside down by the terrorist attack of September 11th, 2001, and then thrown together by the war that followed. The story is inspired by the author's real-life experiences and friendship. Trent Reedy served as a combat engineer in the Iowa Army National Guard. He's the author of several books for young readers, including Words in the Dust, Gamer Army, and the Divided We Fall trilogy. He also writes a weekly military life column for the Washington Examiner and lives with his family outside Spokane. And Jawad Arash is joining us via Zoom from his home country of Afghanistan. He is a teacher. He began teaching English while still in high school and later earned a bachelor's in English and a master's degree in linguistics and teaching English as a second language. Enduring Freedom is his debut novel. Trent Reedy and Jawad Arash, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you. It's an honor to be able to speak to you.
So I want to start by introducing the two main characters of the novel Enduring Freedom, Bahir and Joe, and they're based loosely on the two of you. So why don't we get an introduction from each of you to the character based upon yourself? Jawad, why don't we start with you since he opens the book?
Okay. So Bahir is after 9/11 and the during the Taliban period, he was unsure of what he's doing, and therefore he ends up working on a farm, which quite depicts what I have done. But loosely, it's looking at different aspects and the conflicts that he had during deciding which side should he go, whether he should choose school or should he just lead a farmer's life. Bahir is enthusiastic in for education. He is also interested to help his sister to go to school, and like many other girls, he sees on the way going to school. So actually, his character develops as he meets Joe and the influence that Joe's interaction would have on his decisions and most likely his future.
Yeah, and Trent, tell us about Joe Killian.
Joe Killian is like a lot of Americans, like I was and like a lot of Americans that I encountered back in that terrible aftermath of the September 11th attacks. He's very angry. He's a young high school man in Iowa and also a member of the Iowa Army National Guard. And then this attack happens. And to his horror, he realizes not only is he watching these horrific events unfold live on television, he suddenly realizes that he is an American soldier and the country is going to war. If you're old enough to remember those days, it felt like everything was coming apart. This was World War III was inevitable. Gas lines down the road, people trying to fill up their cars, not knowing if we were going to have fuel the next day. It was a chaos time. And so his service eventually, like so many military personnel over the last 20 years, was deployed to Afghanistan. And he takes his negative attitudes with him. And this is so I'm really ashamed about the attitudes that I had when I first arrived in Afghanistan. I was very angry. I was terrified. I was so frightened. The army had led me to believe through its what they called it training for Afghanistan, which was grossly inadequate, that led me to believe that we were going to be in combat all the time. So I was very afraid. I was very angry. I was upset that I had to leave home. So I blamed stupidly, naively, the Afghans, probably blamed all Muslims, if I really want to be honest. And so that's where PFC Joe Killian starts his journey. But you know what happens is you Well, you meet people like Jawad, right? And I couldn't keep the anger up. And I had to admit that, people like Jawad are not the enemy. They suffered from the Taliban and Al-Qaeda more than I ever would. So the story is about, for the American protagonist, Joe Killian, it's about a journey from anger and really a sort of ignorance to a better understanding and an inner peace. It's sort of a paradox that he finds a lot more peace in his own life by going through a often difficult war experience. So that is PFC Joe Killian.
I'm talking with Trent Reedy and Jawad Arash. They're the authors of a new novel for young adult readers, Enduring Freedom. It's based on their friendship forged during the war in Afghanistan in the early 2000s. And so the two characters develop a friendship that, as you said, is at first based on sort of mutual mistrust and misunderstanding and prejudice from both sides. But the perspective switches back and forth between the two characters. So you get to see the misunderstanding from both sides and sort of understand that neither side really understands where it's coming from. I'm curious about the writing process. Did you switch off writing chapters from each character, or were you editing each other back and forth to make sure it fit together? How did that process work?
The way we wrote was each one of us wrote the chapter for our protagonist, and then we switched in order to see whether the storyline meets and the timeline of the characters. And so we had to take care of many things, making sure that the timeline is fine and the events are correlated. And because I believe Bahir's character is so much Jawad, I want to make sure that every single thing was as close to the reality as possible. I think this Afghan character is the closest any Afghan novel can be. Almost all the scenes I've been present in them, and physically I have seen, I have witnessed. So it seems as if as Trent pointed out, it's so emotional. And we made sure to send our manuscripts back and forth in order to make sure that everything fits in the timeline. And
yeah.
And after I would read some of Jawad's material in particular, because eventually, of course, the novel shifts and we leave America behind as Joe goes to the war. And so it's all in Afghanistan. So there were some times when I had to ask Jawad questions or ask him for clarification. Some of the things about Afghanistan I understood from having been there, so I could clarify those things for an American audience, maybe American readership who hasn't been to Afghanistan. But what's great about Enduring Freedom is that there's all kinds of stuff throughout the book that I didn't know. Afghans are very private people. As a result, there's a lot of things about Afghanistan that I did not understand. So I would have to ask Jawad, what does this mean here? Why are these Afghan people doing this? And then he would explain so that we could find a way to help American readers understand those things. Different idiomatic expressions. So there was a part where a character is expressing surprise, and the expression is something like his eyes popped out of his knuckles or something, which I didn't understand what that meant. So I had to ask what that was. But the other challenge, of course, was that we're writing from different sides of the planet.
Yeah.
Just physically. So during my day, Jawad goes to sleep and vice versa. So there's a little bit of time overlap when we would discuss, okay, well, I'm going to go to sleep now. While I'm asleep, you work on this and this. And these chapters, and then I'll get up and I'll see what you did, and then I'll add my part. But once or twice I would have a question, just a little thing that I needed to point of clarification about Afghan culture or something in the city of Farah where the book is set, and I would send a question over the messenger to Jawad, hoping that he would see it when he woke up hours later. But then he would end up answering that question. I said, what are you doing up answering these questions? You should be asleep. And then I figured it out because Jawad just had a baby. And I love that little baby for waking him up all the time so he could answer these questions and help us write this book.
I'm talking with Trent Reedy and Jawad Arash. They're the authors of a new novel for young adult readers, Enduring Freedom. It's based on their friendship forged during the war in Afghanistan in the early 2000s. We talked about how the book starts with the September 11th attacks, which are coming up on their 20th anniversary. And this book is meant primarily for teenagers and young adults, many of whom were not even born at the time. And it also doesn't shy away from the realities of war. I'm curious, how did you approach writing about some of those more difficult events and writing about what is now, even though you all lived through it, a historical event to your audience?
Well, I'm very conscious of the fact that I am a veteran of the war in Afghanistan, writing books for young, sometimes impressionable readers. And so I'm always very careful not to make war seem like a fun video game. This isn't a Call of Duty or something like that. It's very different. And so I always want to make that clear when I'm talking to young. I'll have young readers ask me if I think they should enlist. And I'll say, I can't make that decision for you, but you should know if you enlist, you will go to war and you will not like it. This country has a dismal record of being at peace, at least in the last 100 years or so. We are at war an awful lot of the time. So it was important to me to make this seem realistic, but also to dispel this sort of stereotype that all the soldiers who served in the war are stricken with crippling PTSD, that every moment of our time in Afghanistan was about combat and misery. I made this great friendship with Jawad. So there were a lot of neat things about it. To learn to love Ramadan. Okay, they don't eat all day long. And then they have this huge feast as soon as the sun goes down, and they would invite us all the time. And so our commanders would say, hey, who wants to go to Ramadan feast tonight? You betcha. Afghan food is incredible. So there were some good things about it too. War is a complicated thing, and Enduring Freedom tries to show that complication.
And I will just add a bit here for the Afghan character. We tried to give the real attitude of people when they first saw Americans, and how that relationship and the readers will definitely enjoy that scene where characters meet, and then they would definitely see how these attitudes are changing certain people. So what we didn't fantasize things to just say that, okay, everybody loved Americans or everybody hated. So we tried to keep the reality intact. It's to show that there were people who were hectic, who were hesitant toward American presence or even foreign presence, whoever they were. And in the meantime, there were people who were neutral, and how these attitudes changed, and how the military behavior, the soldiers' perspectives, and how that was influenced, and how people started thinking differently. And what I feel through our Afghan character, we are trying to show the readers that how the physical presence of Americans and many other international troops not only helped in military sense, but it gave the chance to a huge generation to stand up and work as Bahir, as Maryam, as Aisha, as many characters in the story you would see. So it's not only as Trent pointed out, it's not the guns or the bombs or the artillery, but I believe that it's giving the chance to the people to get up and defend themselves, and supporting them, those who really suffered. You would see from the very first chapter, you'll see the suffering of kids at school, And that was a common thing I have seen myself, and I have heard many of other people, other friends of mine who studied in other schools in other provinces talk about it. So it's a huge evil, but we needed support, and people are standing, I believe. So this whole thing, making sure that everything is as realistic as possible.
I think that's one of the really remarkable things about this novel, is that we get to see the whole experience from both characters and see how those prejudices from both sides, both the American soldiers and the Afghan civilians, start to dissolve as they see each other as real people and have to help each other. And, you know, obviously there's tensions between the characters, which is what happens in real life and in good fiction. But, you know, there's that learning and understanding that happens. I'm curious, like the two characters in the stories, you two met in Afghanistan, and then Trent, you obviously returned to the United States after your deployment. How did the two of you stay connected? And then where did the idea come from to actually turn your experiences into fiction?
So Trent gave me his email address when he was leaving. So we didn't have internet, and I didn't even have a phone then. But then a few years later, another batch of people from Texas came to PRT. A doctor helped me to learn how to search on Google. So it was fascinating for me. And then, so I think I finished high school, and I went to Kabul for further education. And then I created my first email, and then I sent an email to Trent. I had his email address. So expecting to receive a response, and he responded very soon, I guess, until Facebook, like 2009 or 10, I guess I created a Facebook account. Until then we had emails. So we'll just send an email, I don't know, every month or a couple of months, just asking how both of us are doing. And then when Facebook came, so then that was a different story. So social media connected us. And then the story idea was all Trent's idea. And I was interested because my education was in language and literature, so I was interested in it. However, I have to give this full credit to Trent, because he motivated me further and help me to get through, and probably he'll tell you how he started getting me into this.
Now, see, I'm going to disagree, Jawad, because I credit you for being the inspiration for this story. I've written about Afghanistan in some other books, but I've never written a book that included the direct perspective of an American soldier. I tried to do it. I got about 100 pages into it, and it wouldn't quite work. I couldn't figure out why. And I think the reason why is that as much as we like to think about the American involvement in Afghanistan as our war, it was always more of an alliance and a partnership. How do I know that? Because the Afghans are indomitable. I mean, they can't be defeated. If we were there fighting all of Afghanistan, we'd have no chance. They have too many walls, too many trenches. They're too tough. So it was always an alliance. And so when Jawad started to tell me about his horrific experiences growing up and going to school controlled by the Taliban, and when he told me about his first encounters with the American military presence, it was amazing. I thought, well, people need to know this story. I'm fascinated by this story. Surely somebody else will be. And it really provided the right means. I mean, it's somewhat unlikely, our friendship, and you could read all about it, basically a fictionalized account of this in Enduring Freedom. But when I first talked to Jawad, he came up to the wall where I was standing guard. We were in those days renting a small Afghan house, and it was very hot. Oh, by Afghanistan is hot. And he wanted to stand in the shade by the wall, but we had all these briefings from the army about suicide bombers. So, yeah, my good friend Jawad Arash, of some 15 or 16 years, when I first met him, I thought he was a suicide bomber. And I ordered him to, I'm so embarrassed. I ordered him to back away from the wall. I was, you know, I was scared of everybody in that country and had not yet realized that the Afghan people were on our side, you know, against a common enemy in the Taliban. It's been a real joy to stay in touch. And, you know, when Jawad says he didn't have internet, I don't know that Americans might understand, unless they've been there, unless they served there, might understand like how profound that is. When we, my fellow soldiers and I were there in 2004 and 2005, Afghanistan was in pretty bad shape. I mean, they only recently came out from under the Taliban boot, and there's Soviet war junk just everywhere. You would ask, why would the Soviets send a main battle tank to this tiny village? Why did they care what happened to it? And I mean, electricity, very rare. Internet, unheard of. As we were leaving in 2005, you started to see some changes. They were going to go ahead and skip the landlines and put up cell phone towers. Good on them. You know, there were more and more schools opening, and people were starting to starting to build a lot more, and that only increased through the years. So that one time, I live between Spokane and Cheney, where we have terrible internet service, by the way. But we were talking on Facebook, and Jawad said, "Man, what is wrong with your internet?" I was thinking, "Oh wow, my internet's worse than Afghanistan." So, hey, we invented the internet, man. It's been a joy to stay in touch all these years, and especially to write this book together.
So we're running out of time, and I know it's getting late where you are, Jawad, but we're coming up on the 20th anniversary of the September 11th attacks, and President Biden has set that anniversary date as his deadline for the final withdrawal of American troops from Afghanistan. And I don't want to venture too far into politics, but that anniversary must be something that's on your minds and the state of American presence in Afghanistan. What are you all thinking about sort of the current state of Afghan and American relations?
I normally avoid commenting on these political issues because politics to me is always an evil game. You never know what's happening. You really never know who is on whose side. But anyhow, I think it's the Afghan people have progressed enough, I guess, and there are people, many people who are thinking like Bahir today, who are willing to uphold the flag and stand for the for their country. But I know that even President Biden didn't say that they will stop support. They will continue the support, and which definitely people like Bahir would need. And let's hope for the good, although generally people in Afghanistan are not very happy with that decision, but still let's see what time will teach us.
You mentioned that this book is ostensibly marketed for young people who were not even born or don't have a memory of 9/11. But a lot of young people have done a lot of growing up missing loved ones who were deployed to this war. There are a lot of people who served in this war and came home, and you know, Afghanistan, it kind of remains a part of you. And so the mission is something we care about. So one of my hopes with Enduring Freedom is that this is a book that will remind Americans, the families who sacrificed while their loved ones served, or, you know, for those people who served themselves, will remind Americans that this mission is important. This mission mattered. We were up against an unspeakably evil enemy, and we were helping, you know, some really good people. rebuild their country after all this war that wasn't their fault and try to have a better future. And like Jawad said, I think they're going to get there. Afghans are, they saved my life more times than we have time allotted in this program to talk about. And they're brave, wonderful, creative people. And they're not going to go back. They can't. And so I pray for their success, and Jawad and I offer enduring freedom as a testament to this mission that we shared for so many years.
And I also want to make sure I have spoken about it often on Veterans Day. I thank Trent and others that I have contact with on through social media. So I try to thank them for their service, because they served for us, for our people. So it's great for, and I really thank those families who suffered. I know when I'm away from my wife and children, they feel, and I feel that, and I definitely understand all those soldiers who returned back. That's that was good, but it's unfortunate there are many who couldn't make it back. So I really thank them, each and everyone, their family, their relatives, everyone who really served in this Enduring Freedom mission. And I hope this book is a tribute to all those people.
My guests have been Spokane-based author Trent Reedy and his Afghanistan-based co-author Jawad Arash. Their new novel for young adult readers, Enduring Freedom, is out now from Algonquin Books. It's based on their real-life friendship, which began during the war in Afghanistan in the early 2000s. Jawad and Trent, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me.
Thank you. It was an honor.